While you're all still talking to each other, Master Eckhart said, if the only prayer you say in your entire life, this guy's got arrogance, is thank you, that would suffice. I just ask you to think about those things. You know, he's a mystic. You know, they're all goofy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Been so good. Been so good. Been so good. Been so good. I just want to thank you, Lord. Been my friend. Been my friend. Been my friend. Been my friend. I just want to thank you, Lord. Amen. So you did all the praying you'll ever have to do for your life now, according to Meister Eckhart. And sometimes after prayer sessions, I think it's as powerful as what I grew up in and the Orthodox and some others have. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. It's not up enough?
I don't even know it's on.
Is it on? Oh! Oh, it's one of those goofy things, huh? Okay. You're all foolish to be here. You know, you could be doing something fun. I sometime in my mission work on the east side of Tacoma, for the last 24 years, people would come. We didn't have much music or anything. And I knew they didn't always want to be there. So I told them, well, you know, you don't have to be here. The door is right there. And to give them the freedom to get up, walk out the door. I said, there's another 70 churches right outside, 6 Buddhist temples if you want to kind of switch a little. You wonder sometimes. And sometimes they did walk out. That's probably why I never had a large congregation. It was left. I invited them, though, to stay or leave, of course. Today's little poem, a verse. I didn't know Mary Oliver as a poet. And she was in Tacoma at PLU last year. And some people that I work with love Mary Oliver. And I love her now. She's 70 years old. She's Episcopal, I believe. She's incredible. And you got about 17 books down there on Mary Oliver. And the people who invited Mary to PLU, standing room only at Lagerquist Hall, were the young people. It was the students. They said, we want a poet we read. And so now I've read her. This is just a little verse from it. It's an important one for where I'm leading for tomorrow. It's instructions for living a life. So it's not the gospel, as we heard today. But it is instructions for living a life. And a common statement that you probably heard your whole life, certainly teachers always said it, parents always, pay attention. You know, Paul did that too. Pay attention. And then he once told me, Paul Hinderly, I don't know if he's even here, and he said, well, you know, that's not the gospel. It's the law. Are you there? And I looked at him and I said, yeah, well, so, big deal. God said a lot of things. And one of them was actually pay attention. Be astonished. The root of all learning, according to Plato, was the beginning of all philosophy is a sense of wonder. You just wonder, why would God care about you? And so forth. The last one I like because it fits what we often have done here and still do. Tell about it. Tell about it. Pay attention. That's not the kind of pay attention, you know, your dog comes up and says, hur, 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 pay attention. It's this other kind of attention that a woman who was a mystic philosopher in the 50s, Simone Weil. If I don't pronounce the names, just forgive me. And this book called Gravity and Grace. When I read this, I don't understand her, by the way. I've read other stuff of hers. Smarter people than me would have to figure out what she's really getting at. But I did like her thing on attention. Attention and will. And she said, what we do, and I heard it today from Dan, heard it from Fred, and I heard it in a music way that freed us. We usually try to use our will and willpower to solve the problems, to solve the issues in one's life, and if you happen to be a counselor, the issues in someone else's life. In community like east side of Tacoma, well, we'll solve the poverty problem, the gang problem, the drug problem. That's not what she means. Pay attention to her. It is a powerful, what she calls, and I'll just read one sentence. I recommend you read the essay if you want to know more. She says, attention, taken to its highest degree, is the same thing as prayer. It presupposes faith and love. Absolutely unmixed attention is prayer. Wow. And then she goes on, and I heard it tonight. I think it's in here. Yes, it is. She says, and by the way, I'm prefacing all of this poetry stuff on a verse from the Jerusalem Bible, and we read it actually Sunday, I believe, or last night, that in Ephesians, we are God's work of art. That's Jerusalem Bible. In the English, it's very boring. And then created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God has made for our life. It's very interesting. The word that the French Catholics interpreted was poema. Now, I stretch everything, so if it's not correct, just go talk to Fred later. We are God's living poems. And not like you went to college and took the poem and dissected the damn thing, right? It's to pay attention is what she's saying, would be to look at you and be attentive. And the highest piece of that would be prayer. Martin Luther knew it. He wrote 32 pages, though. You know, I'm long, but he was really long. His barber said, what is prayer? What did Luther say? When you are shaving me, you know, with those sharp knives, he said, pay attention. I don't want you thinking about God and your soul and everything else in your life. Just pay attention to that shave, because if you don't, I may get killed. You see? You understand that. So this is what this pay attention stuff is. And then she says this, and I'm thinking of this with poverty and other things. The poet produces the beautiful by fixing his or her attention on something real. If we are in a nation looking for reality, you know those reality shows. It's the same with the act of love. To know that this man or woman is hungry and thirsty really exists as much as I do, that's enough. The rest follows itself. The authentic and pure values, beauty, truth, goodness in the activity of human being are the result of one and the same act, a certain application of the full attention to the object. That's just to be reflective about this, pay attention. And where I learned it theologically was in Portland, attending a Russian, or I don't even know if it was Russian. It was an Eastern Orthodox church. And I need an Orthodox priest. that looks like a woman or is a woman. Anybody? I need a priest. Nobody wants to volunteer? Vicki, you have to. You're on staff. Come on up. Give her a hand.
Well, I know I'm in a Lutheran retreat because
there are no Orthodox women priests, just so you know. But anyway, for tonight, she's going to be an Orthodox priest. Where I learned about pay attention was in the liturgy. And I grew up in the Orthodox, and I never heard it, ever. And I think that's a little bit what I heard today, is sometimes we don't hear the liturgy. It's so common, it doesn't even mean anything. But here it was in Portland at a brand new Orthodox church. Okay, you want to be the priest? You be the attendant. I'll keep my ego. And no, you can stay there. Okay?
Okay.
Are we ready?
I think so.
Are you all ready? Normally we'd be facing the other way, the iconostasis. All the icons, all the important people would be there, painted on the walls. But for tonight. This is the Holy Scripture, the Word. If you've anybody ever been to an Orthodox church? Ooh, well, you know. You want to be the holder?
I'm your assistant.
Okay. Before they read the Word, they say to the iconostasis and the congregation, and I'll just be the priest, and when your response to me is be attentive or pay attention. You choose. Wisdom.
Pay attention.
Well, put a little life into it.
Pay attention.
Wisdom.
Pay attention.
Wisdom.
Pay attention.
Everything in threes, you know, with the Orthodox. Now, if you put Simone Weil, the mystic, into this, what is she asking us, and what is the priest and the attendant asking us to do? Be attentive to something that if you don't focus it, you'll be thinking about lunch. You can't even wait to get out of here to go to your parties and whatever, you know, that kind of thing. Thank you. I bring this. Yeah, give her a hand. I would suggest, I don't know where I'm going here with this tonight, so we'll get out of here early. The wisdom is Sophia. The wisdom is female, always woman, if you will. And in the Orthodox Church, you look up, and Camera would certainly know this, you would see the Theotokos. The Mother of God holding the Christ one. And so in today's messages, what in liturgy, what the Orthodox are trying to say, and we try to do it too in our liturgies, is how do we draw our attention, which if you're using Simone Weil, the highest one is its prayer. It's prayer. And I've often struggled with this notion. Let's pray. On what? How can you see what it is you're asking me to pray about? How is this four verses, pay attention, be astonished, and tell about it, a path to lead us, right? To lead us where? Away from ourselves, all our work, everything that you helped us see today. And Dan, is Dan here? No, the other Dan.
I'm Dan.
the younger Bald Dan. And so to be able to see, I like Juris bowels being thrown out all over the place. But that's a kind of image I'd rather not have to deal with too much. Seeing, at least, I can identify with. But I can identify with what you said. How do you walk in to a bar and pay attention? I mean, in the sense that Simone and others are saying, or the priest. And when you do, what's the response? We heard some of it. It was thankfulness for being there. And that's a scary thing, and in community then. So what I'm getting at then is, how do, in community, do you see? We've been praying and singing. There's more. We see God. It's always interesting to me. We've been singing it since I came on Sunday. Have you seen God lately? God's present. Oh, really? Say that to the cancer victim tonight. Or the recently divorced. Or name some things. Anything. Well, you see God that close, that near, is what we've been saying. We've been saying, I love that song by Marty Haugen. And one verse is, you will, as you pay attention, if you will, you will see the face of God on the poor. I know how we usually interpret it. Well, you see those pictures back there, you know, that's the suffering one. Martin Luther said, what did he say about suffering? It's the mark of the Christian. There is no other way. I heard that today. Who wants to suffer? Not even Luther. But because God's world has suffering, and we are to participate in this world of suffering, he says, enter it. The Orthodox are always really good on this, because they don't separate the sacred and the profane the way often the Western Church has. In fact, they often would say, if you don't participate in the evil, you're probably never going to be able to do the goodness of God in community. So not too far under the surface. We were talking about that at the tables. Sometimes we start to see the evil. We've been talking about it a little bit here. The gay, lesbian issues, on and on. How can you see God in the midst of all this suffering? Anybody? You're shaking your head, yes. You want to say anything?
You got to pay attention.
There you go. You get an A in the class. Okay. Oh, here's a picture for you. Well, Nancy and I were in Norway for the Nobel Peace Prize when Gore got it. And we went to this park that has like 200 naked men, women, children in stone, huge. Anybody been there? Yep. Woo! Tell me about it. Anybody, say something about it.
It's Vigeland.
It's Vigeland. I actually wrote a thing called Vignettland. I'm supposed to laugh at that.
Well, I was seeing you naked, and it kind of took the humor out.
Oh, I see. You see, this is the guy. That's the kind of guy. You know. You're gonna get it later. See, I know where his church is. I even know some of his people. Anyway, this is certainly a phallic symbol. There's no question about that, right? Or is there? If you don't know this is a phallic symbol, we better go somewhere and talk quietly. The guy must have been a little crazy. But there it sits in this huge park in Oslo. where I don't know if Lutherans even go to church anymore. But you know who they do go to and have been converting to? It's the Orthodox. And the one church we found that was Orthodox was literally in the cemetery. And I asked the Lutherans, former, why did you leave? Why would they leave for this other faith? And I think it has a lot to do with why people are returning to the Orthodox faith, even in the United States, because liturgically, it gives us something that gets us at the suffering, the oppression, the enormous choices you have to make. I mean, Crown Point. Crown Heights, those things. Oh, yeah, well, it's a point, but it's high. You got groups there that are weird. They take chickens and they do all kinds of strange things, and then they heal it, and then they kill it, and all in the name of God. So the next one, though, is simple. Be astonished. The beginning of philosophy is to find a sense of wonder, said Plato. And then Psalm 103. O Lord, how manifold are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. In wisdom. And so it's that wisdom that we're called to in the service, and then the assistant, the priest, if you will, be attentive, not to everything, but be attentive to this word. And whether it will set you free, is it true, all that theological stuff? I would say, of course, it is. But be attentive. Be attentive and be astonished. Throughout Scripture, I read the Jesus stories, right? Everybody's astonished that this guy can heal, teach things, dance like a fool, and cook like a master. That's Paul. They're astonished. I mean, I'm astonished. You know that, what was that cow yesterday? And I didn't even see the best part. He had four udders. I mean, that's like a guy with, you know. And he had it right there. That was what was weird. And then you're not afraid to say that. Why not? Because the good news of Christ.
I couldn't utter it.
You couldn't utter it. That guy's bad. So a sense of wonder, I think, is so crucial here. I'm using, somebody mentioned Timothy Ware. His other name is Calestos Ware, is a bishop. And this is his lifelong teachings. So this book, by the way, is a nice little entry into his thoughts. Okay. One more little tidbit here. Yeah, that's the four. That's those instructions for life. Oh, Paul was somewhere else. Instructions for a life, living a life. First one, pay attention, Paul. Two, be astonished. And three, tell about it. In community, this is the part that is often, especially with oppressed people, I mean, you, the number of gang mothers whose kids were killed and they had no one to tell about it. I mean, no one. The church, the black church, they didn't want to hear it. When I start talking about grief and suffering and death and tragedy, you can see the faces. That's nice, and then I can't wait to see somebody else. You can hardly get through a story without them finally say, I don't want to deal with this, Pastor Ron. And for 24 years, when I started to realize that these women mainly, kids big time today, and men who simply left, had no way to tell about the life they lived. All they saw was what? You mentioned it, TV thingy. I do a whole thing on that one. No, what they know about is this. I always carry one of these around. You can have it later if you want. No, you can't. This is the God. This is what they look. What is it? Who is it? It ain't Jesus. Say it out loud. Yeah, it's Ben Franklin. And I'll bet everyone in this room, everyone, knows what Ben Franklin said and why he's on a $100 bill. Early to bed. Finish it. Makes. Wow, that's the gospel of this. Oh, it is. And I heard that. And Dan, hey, don't tell me it isn't this. Don't bullshit me about money. It's because you're afraid to talk about it. We actually believe it. That's the worst part. Early to bed, early to rise, and it makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. I have a whole magazine thing. I won't do it tonight. But and Self Magazine literally has a woman cut up in 3 pieces, full ad, it falls out. You can look at it later. And it says, healthy, wealthy, and wise. Translated then into crass language, sex, money, and power. Translated theologically into how the Catholic Church, at least, what were the vows you took to be, Vicky, a priest? 3 of them. There's a lot of them, but the 3 main ones. Say it again. No, forget the poverty bit. What's first?
Celibacy.
Chastity. No sex, priest. None. Huh. Unless you're doing it with a stone. They probably don't care. And then the next one, of course, poverty. By choice. A vow against the very thing that Jesus talks so much about. He doesn't talk much about sex, frankly. He talks a lot about money. I think he does. Check it out. Read the scripture. What do you think these kids and all these people in housing projects and around the world, the kids that are involved in this terrible stuff like blowing themselves up for whatever. And what's the last vow? Obedience. And what does obedience mean? Listen to the authority of the power, which is God. There are actually 3 good things. They're all in the Bible. We could do a whole Bible study just on, what did I say the 3 were? Oh, healthy. To me, that's God the Creator. First article of the Creed. Creator of what? Come on, you're all Lutherans, or some of you are. Creator of heaven and earth, and all everything in it. Woo! And who invented sex, anyway? The devil? I thought they were in the garden, and they were naked, kind of, right? You're falling asleep. Come on, wake up. And then, who actually created this mess? Thank you, God. We already sung that, so you don't have to go through that again. Where did money come from? Or wealth, which is not necessarily money. I challenge you on that, to think about this in light of how do you see God then in a community of people? We sung, take our silver and our gold. Shoot, that's what they give in Bellevue, Washington. Bring all your gold. It's the time to make a few more bucks. This gold's going to go to $1,000 an ounce or whatever. That's what the commercials say. Inside out. Anybody go to Safeway? Anybody? I'm the shopper in the family. So, Safeway? Safeway. What's the motto? last couple of years. When you walk in. See, if you're not paying attention, you won't even know that it's done the job on you. Okay? Ingredients for life. And you walk in, and there's a big picture with big letters saying L-I-F-E. Just because you don't know how to spell. But they'll make sure you know. And then there'll be pictures of what life is according to Safeway. And then they say ingredients for life. When I first saw that, because I go to the Safeway store in Tacoma, and tomorrow I'll talk about the marketplace. It's amazing. It's amazing. Every Sunday, the checkout person who knew me wanted to know what I was going to preach. She finally came to church, by the way. Not only that, she used to give us Safeway certificates for the poor. This was in that building. But I went in, I took pictures of all the ingredients for life. Pepsi, Coke, whew, all the sugar. I'm diabetic. I can't even touch that stuff now. And all the stuff that's supposed to give us life. We know it's a lie, isn't it? It's a half lie, at least. I love it. Safeway has always captured, in one sentence, the heart of America's both civic and, I think, religious ideology. Long time ago, it used to be, they won national awards for this. You work an honest day, you get an honest deal at Safeway. I used to watch the people with the food stamps, the drug dealers going in there. I didn't even care about how you worked. It didn't matter. It caught our Protestant work ethic, if you will. And so then how do you pay attention when, yeah, you're working honest. And then, you know, they changed the pictures because they didn't include the handicap. They didn't include people of color. I have the original ad. It's amazing. Somebody got big bucks to take how hard it is to put in one sentence the gospel of the United States of America. And so we capture it, if we can, in a marketing manner. I have to say it that way because tomorrow, what freed me from all of that nonsense, by the way, TV, that we went digital, what do they keep telling me? You got to get that little box to put in your thing if you don't have, if you got rabbit ears. Well, I had rabbit ears, and I got three lousy stations because we didn't have much good reception. I got the free thing from the government, and I didn't know there was an expiration date. So now when I walk into my little family room, there's no TV. That's God. And I say it that way because it's allowed me to pay attention now, one, to my wife, which after 40 years, you know, it gets more difficult. My cat, every day at 5 in the morning. And it allows me personally to say prayers and pay attention. I literally see the people that I'm praying about. And so tomorrow when we move towards a moment of blessing, I actually will show it 1 minute how the media sees it and how they portrayed it. And so tonight, we'll end in a minute. I want us to remember some of our colleagues who couldn't be here tonight because they're dead. Or are they? Just last week, Roger Kincaid, sitting in his favorite chair, looking out the window at the river, reading a book. He always was reading a book. Had a beautiful voice, by the way. He got through college singing. Young. I mean young, given what I call young now, you know, 60-something. A wonderful man, John Finstuen. John is dead. And John just died at 61. His son teaches at PLU. He was a football player. There's some football player here. Big guy. I like him. He kind of is always running around bumping people over. I don't know who that is. But So John is gone. And he is the one who recommended me for PLU after they wouldn't take him. And by the way, they made a mistake. He was great. Yale, just a wonderful. And his wife, Cappy. That's two. Steve Morrison is dying right now. He's the assistant to the bishop some years ago from depression. And many in this room would know what depression is. I think we know how we can go down and don't have the power to be risen by Christ. The other one that I have simply cried over when I first heard it, Charlie Mays. And if any of you know these people, I only say, give thanks for them. What a joy and what a privilege. And they all have been up here, given of themselves, sharing, teaching, doing all those things. And so it's the thankfulness then tonight, even though it's late, that I come here. And from St. John Chrysostom, when I think now of the poor are a greater temple than the sanctuary. This altar, the poor, you can raise up anywhere. We sang that, by the way, tonight. On any street, and offer liturgy. I loved both your images and your physical, whatever you were doing with your arms. At any hour. And then from Strength to Love from Martin Luther King Jr. I love this one. Human salvation lies in the hands of the creatively maladjusted. I've always felt Holden is probably a picture of salvation. And talk about, and I think, Dan, you said this, don't get adjusted. Or who said that? Was that Tom? The governor?
Yeah.
Oh, don't fit in. Mm-hmm. Because what we want to do is adjust you, fit you in, and then, of course, control you. And everybody who works in poverty or any of these big issue things, Paul Benz, you know, he faces this darn thing every day of the week. The bishop. I mean, who would want your job? Man, that guy needs counseling. You better help him. Look, he's even sitting alone over there. But Luther, he knew it. Young man, by the way. And it lies in the hands of the creatively maladjusted. And that's a wonderful little book, by the way, Strength to Love, from the early 60s. And just, I want to end with this. The one Bible verse. I do read the Bible, by the way. The one is from Mark. Mark 2:27. Anybody? I'm just always curious if anybody knows the scripture. I mean, the ELCA and Luther Sem is trying to figure out how to brand us now. Have you seen that new stuff? The branding of Lutheranism, if you will. Okay, well, forget that. But Mark 2:27. Remember, then he, Jesus, said to them, the Sabbath. This is powerful. This changed my whole way of seeing the community I worked in for 24 years. And I'd quote this all over the place. The Sabbath, and I put in parentheses, an institution. It was an institution that had rules. It was self-sufficiency was important, and you better follow it. And we did, even to this day, in much of this country. I blew up. But I grew up in the blue laws, right? You didn't buy liquor on a Sunday. The stores didn't open on Sunday. It didn't matter if you're sitting with 3 million Jews in New York. They opened on Sunday. My mother and grandmother used to drag us down to Delancey Street looking for those bargains because their Sabbath was different. I say this to you because it was made for who? Humankind. And not humankind for the Sabbath. I started to take that to every mission statement of institutional life in Tacoma. Tacoma School District. And then when you reverse it, which is often done, the ethics then gets flipped. They make policy decisions. Is Paul here? Right? They make decisions about who stays in, who gets out, who gets suspended, who graduates. Oh, man, they are sickos. And then you get people like me trying to get people down there to say, we don't tell them they're sickos. That's not fair. Because they're usually in our churches. I found almost everybody I knew graduated from PLU and now have these good jobs. But boy, when you switch it to the Sabbath, the very institution that God said, take some time and pay attention to God's self-portrait, if you will, to use an Orthodox phrase. Because it was made for humankind, the likes that we are and the likes that the people in the bar are, the likes that the people who work at Safeway, who shop at Safeway, those are economic and institutional things. But think of it all, and then our big decision just recently, right? Wow. The institution called the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America is for who? Anybody. Try to articulate it somehow. Yeah. I'm looking at you. You made fun of me before.
Always.
You don't have to answer it, but just sort of reflect on. Well, what is this institution that we say maybe can we turn it upside down or topsy-turvy or inside out? And I go to other places. I go to the gangs and say, how do you turn that inside out? They use the same methodologies, same texting, by the way. They're good at it, a lot of them. So I'm not telling stories. We're going to end now. Unless you have something you want to do or sing or dance or have Paul come.